Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, April 16th. I can't believe April's half gone already. Glad that you're all here tonight. Before we get started tonight and get into our lesson from Dr. Mosley, does somebody want to open us up in prayer?
Representative Mark Klein, I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you in worship and praise to speak life into the prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Let us unite into one accord so the Holy Spirit will amplify our combined works, and then truth shall rise far above anything depraved in the natural. So strengthen our bond with one another and amplify our spirits as we rise above and put evil beneath our feet. It's written that we should remind you of your promises from time to time, Father, so that you can justify us. So here's a few of them. You promised never to leave us or forsake us. You promised us our Savior would return. You promised us the truth shall set us free. You promised us that Jesus' sacrifice took away the sin of the world. And you promised us grace, mercy, and forgiveness for sins if we repent from them. You promised Israel, or us, to heal our land if we turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. So blessed is the name of you, Lord. On Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I also would say, except the Lord build the government, they labor in vain that build it. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for our good congressional call tonight. We pray for healing. Pray for protection. We pray for the children, Father. We pray for God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the nation of Israel. So ask us in your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank you, Father.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see here. Okay, I guess we've got what we need. I'm going to start off tonight doing the roll with Representative Cox.
Representative Robin Cox from the North Dakota Free State is here.
All right. Thank you, Representative Reed. Representative Binder.
I work some Mark Binder's present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Rockwell is present. Because I am speaking a little bit, I guess. Representative Schmidt, are you with us?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. And Representative Blanton, you with us tonight?
Representative Blanton from Colorado, present.
All right. Thank you, sir. It looks like we got five representatives representing five states for tonight. And without any more chatting from me, I'm going to go ahead and yield to Dr. Mosley for our lesson tonight. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The laws of life, as they relate to the systems of this world and the system of the kingdom of God, as they relate to the economic system, as they relate to the social system, as they relate to the political system, and as they relate to the educational system and the religious system, how these laws of life relate to and apply to each and every one of these systems. We define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. So over these last months, and I don't recall how many, we've been relating these laws of life, which the Spirit of God has revealed to me some 50 laws of life. And in order to refer to a law of life as being such, we have to begin in Genesis, developing that law of life as an absolute beginning in Genesis, carrying it throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament before we can refer to it as a law of life. We show how these laws of life operate independently and interdependently one to another. So tonight, in a little while, we're going to be with you. We're going to attempt to establish how these laws of life, and in particular, the law of notice and warning. Let me give a definition for notice and warning, which I've given on several other occasions. The notice is being made aware of an event prior to its occurrence that provides opportunity. Warning, on the other end, makes us aware of an event prior to its occurrence that presents danger, great bodily harm, or perhaps even death. So tonight, we're going to talk about an incident, for lack of a better description, that took place about a week ago. And many of us observed it, and those of us who did not in person, we were able to see an account of it later. I'm sure you know what I have referenced to, the eclipse. And my question tonight is, does God use the eclipse to reveal notice and warnings to us? Question, does God use the eclipse to give notice and warning to people? And that definition for notice, again, is being made aware of an event prior to its occurrence that presents opportunity. Warning, on the other end, is being made aware of an event prior to its occurrence that presents danger, great bodily harm, or perhaps even death. Question again is, does God use the sky to give us notice and warning? Let's look at Psalm 148:3 to begin. Beginning with verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Verse 3. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to another verse of scripture in Psalm 147:4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Can you imagine? What a mighty God we serve. He calleth each of them, of the millions and maybe billions of stars that are out there, he calleth each of them by their names. Question again, does God use the heavenlies? I've heard it phrased, presented this way, that God uses the sky as his billboard to make us aware of those things that are to our benefit and those things that are of danger to us. So we're going to ask a few questions tonight, and you're certainly invited to share with us your thoughts in this regard. This is not a quiz, but just an opportunity for us to share some together, as we've done on numerous other occasions. What, if anything, does A or B last solar eclipse signify or mean to you? Any comments, any thoughts, any remarks in that regard? What, if anything, does a solar eclipse mean to you? It doesn't mean anything. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a few thoughts, Dr. Mosley. And
yes, sir.
I'm sure other people have listened to this or heard this as well. But there were 3 eclipses over the past 7 years that have crossed America, and they have represented the Aleph Tav, which is the beginning of the Hebraic alphabet and the end. And I see that as our Lord marking our country for him. And, I don't know what anybody else thinks about that, but that's my comment to your question.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I agree with what Speaker Rockwell said, and I would also add to that, if nothing else, they got several people together to talk amongst themselves and to have wonderment, I guess, at the signs above them when that eclipse happened, the last one that is. Well, actually, all three. So that's what I have, and I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor.
Yes,
you have the floor. Talk about the, you talk about the Altal and the Alpha Omega, first and the beginning and the end. That is kind of brings you to the Book of Revelation, and we're kind of living in that with the events the last several years. We're living in the Book of Revelation is playing out before us. And with that, a yield.
With some further comments, and let's move a little further. Now, some would say that there's much pagan worship that takes place in and around an eclipse. Any thoughts in that regard? And if so, what kind of pagan worship are you aware of that does, in fact, take place surrounding an eclipse? Any thoughts in the comments?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to say that it seems to be, with my observations and articles written and that type of thing, that, the occult, the works of darkness, they like to take advantage of signs like that, and just like they counterfeit lots of things, they want to make it their own because they can't create really anything. And I think that it's, I've heard also talk about CERN ramping up and trying to bring in, you know, some evil spirits and that type of thing. I think maybe that that's why they like these types of events, even though it's a sign from God and from a natural sign from God. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Now, in this last eclipse, and there were millions upon millions that put themselves in a position to observe personally the eclipse. And then there were remarks by the spectators, and of course the news people were there with their microphones. Were there many comments, if any, that related the eclipse to any spiritual connotation, or was it primarily all natural? What kind of comments came from the observers of the eclipse, spiritual or natural, as best any of you recall? Any thoughts in that regard? Now, if you recall some of the comments, many people were just amazed by it, but they saw it as somewhat of a spectacle as opposed to a notice and or a warning or something as though symbolic that was coming forth from the heavens by and through the God that hopefully we serve. But let's move along and see if you have some thoughts on some of these other categories that we have listed. Now let's look at Joshua 10, 1 through 14. Joshua 10, 1 through 14. Now, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but basically, as most of you, I'm sure, recall, five kings had come against Joshua. And God was fighting the battle for Joshua. Let's start with verse 12. and see if we can come across any significance as to what took place in the heavens and whether or not, as New Testament believers, we can look, because I'm certainly most of us say that God is not a respecter of persons. So if he did it for Joshua, that he can and will do it for us. But verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, this is what I want you to pay close attention to, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with this passage of Scripture. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13, and watch this closely. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Could we consider that to be an eclipse of some kind? And can we conceive of a human being speaking based upon the words of God and based upon his knowledge of God, speaking to the sun and the moon and telling them to stand still and not move and to sit still for a full day? Any thoughts on that? Whether or not there is or was, in fact, an eclipse, and the power of the Spirit of God that was on Joshua, should we anticipate or expect to have that kind of power on us and through us in this New Testament dispensation? Any thoughts?
That's the power of the spoken word.
Yes, it is. So then, and I'm going to follow up with that question I asked, if you or I have an assignment that has been given to us by our Father, and we're endeavoring to carry out that assignment in the best of our ability by and through the power of God, and if it appears that we're running out of time, can we rely upon a scripture like this? And by faith, do as Joshua did. Speak to the sun and the moon and slow it down and give you enough time to do what God has called you to do. Do we have that kind of faith in God that Joshua had when he spoke to the sun and the moon and expected the sun and the moon to stand still, to eclipse, until he could do what God had called him to do? Any further comments in that regard? It's just food for thought, because I think so often we limit the power of the God that we serve.
This is us, number five. Am I on the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I just want to say, don't limit the power of God. That's, some people call that putting God in a box, because time really doesn't mean anything to God, just events that happen. And since he can see the future from the past, there's just no limit to his power. The only limit there is our comprehension of how and why and when it was done. I yield. Thank you.
Let's look at Matthew 27:45. This is when our Lord and Savior was hanging on the cross for you and for me. But before going here, let's go back to Joshua just for a minute. What Joshua commanded and what did come to pass, did he do that based upon a notice from God or a warning from God? Notice being made of an event prior to its occurrence that offers opportunity. Warning being made aware of an event prior to its occurrence that presents danger, great bodily harm, or perhaps even death. That's just something for you to reflect on over these next few days until we come together again. But was it a notice or a warning? But let's look at Matthew 27 and 45. Well, when our Lord and Savior is hanging on a cross, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, and I'm mispronouncing the words here, but just bear with me, Eliah, Eliah, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And from, I want to get the hours straight here, but it was for a three-hour period that there was utter darkness on the earth. Can we consider that to be an eclipse? And was an eclipse of a notice or a warning? Because it says, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So for 3 hours, there was total darkness. Was that a notice to us? Or was it a warning to someone who is not, who does not believe in our Lord and Savior? Any thoughts, any comments in that regard?
I think it was both.
I agree. I think it was both also. Would you explain, Mr. Chairman, why you say it was both and how so?
Well, probably the warning would be that it was something that was unexpected, and the combination with that darkness was an earthquake. And it caused several people around Yeshua when he was, just as he died, to, you know, say that he was the Son of God. So I think that it plays into that. I think that's kind of complex, but I think that's why I think the both the notice and the warning were together in that.
Thank you, sir. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
This is Representative Mark Byron.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Speaker there. I believe that it was a notice and a warning both. And when Christ was on the cross, and when he was saying those words you just spoke, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was actually teaching from Psalms 22, which is a psalm that David wrote 1,000 years before that had taken place, before Christ was crucified. So if you have a chance to read Psalm 22, it just pretty much explains everything. And once again, it was written 1,000 years before Christ died on the cross. And I think that's quite a bit of a warning. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to ask this, and there's so much more we could draw from this recent experience of the eclipse that's biblically sound and biblically based. But I'm going to draw from one natural example that most of us have observed on numerous occasions as it deals with darkness and light. In the physical realm, because God uses those things we can see to help us to better understand the things we cannot see. In the physical realm, is darkness a greater law than light, or is light a greater law than darkness? Are there thoughts in that regard? Which is the greater, a light or a darkness?
This rubs on Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I would say that the best way to describe what you just asked was that if you're talking about actual dark and light rather than, you know, darkness being evil and light being good, I would say that dark is the absence of light. And we use the word darkness as it is an object because it's easier to explain. It's easier for us to know and understand than it is to say, well, there's just no light there, which is what we call darkness. It gives meaning to something that is the opposite of light, or the opposite of the other. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you. Very interesting.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
The Bible says that in 1 John, or excuse me, in John 1, it said that the light is greater than the darkness, because it said that the darkness has not comprehended the light.
Yes.
If I were to go into a dark room, and I'm coming from a room that's lighted, which of the two would overcome the other?
The light would overtake the darkness.
The light would overtake the darkness. And going to what we've been endeavoring to establish about these laws of life, God uses those things we can see, these physical laws that we can see, to help us better understand the spiritual laws that we cannot see. So if I'm about to enter a dark room from a lighted area, it's been my experience that the light will always overcome the darkness. And is that a principle that the Spirit of God is endeavoring to give us that we can carry over to the spirit realm? Someone was about to say something? What we want to draw from this study is that God uses everything in nature to help us to better understand what is taking place in the spirit realm. The rainbow, every time we see a rainbow, is that a notice or is it a warning that God has given to us? Because basically, God is saying to us, I will not, I covenant not to destroy the earth by water again. Would that be a notice or would that be a warning? Any thoughts?
It'd be a notice.
It would be a notice, because it does. God is saying, I will not present this kind of danger, a harm to you ever again. So it's a notice. And interestingly enough, it's not only a notice to those of us who are spiritual as it relates to believers in our Lord and Savior, but also it's a notice to the unbelieving world, because it does not present danger, great bodily harm, or perhaps even death as it relates to the law of notice and warning. But there's so many instances, the sky speaking to us, and we miss the notices and warnings. And unfortunately, many believers miss the notices and warnings that God is giving to us by and through his billboard, which is the sky. With that much speaker, I yield.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley. Very thought-provoking what you had to say tonight, and good feedback and conversation from everybody bringing their input as well. Does anybody have any questions or comments for Dr. Mosley tonight?
This is Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. Thanks for choosing that subject tonight, Dr. Mosley. That really translates well into the Bible and signs and seasons, of course, and it gives us food for thought. And another extension of what you're saying also is sometimes we pray, and we pray as if it's going to be, with faith and that it's going to be answered, but we're not looking close enough for the answer to the prayer, and it's sometimes it's right in front of us. In a small way, in a big way. Anyway, it's in God's way. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you much. Sure. Anybody else? All right. If not, Dr. Mosley, before you go ahead and head out, go ahead and give us the contact information for your particular ministry.
Thank you, sir. Well, our website is, of course, www.justiceministries.com. justiceministriesintl.com. My email address is Mosley, M-O-S-K-E-L-Y, justice, the number one, at AOL.com. The ministry phone number is 866-950-5858. And we have been endeavoring to teach these laws of life now for over 30 years. We have books on the laws of life. Well, first of all, my testimony is in book form, and I went over some of that last week. And we have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death that's available, along with many other books. The Spirit of God has given us an assignment to publish 50 books on various laws of life. And by faith, we'll be able to get those done before our Lord and Savior returns. So we're available for speaking engagements. We're available for the panel discussions. And we are fortunate to have two, or sometimes three, TV programs, one being Laws of Life Court TV. And in Laws of Life Court TV, individuals will bring a situation to Laws of Life Court, and they will receive a decision not based upon secular laws, but based upon one or more spiritual laws, which we refer to as the laws of life. The other TV program we have is the Laws of Life Teaching Series, and we teach one or more laws of life in each session. So basically, that's what we're called to do, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with the group.
All right. Definitely a lot going on with you, and the Lord definitely has blessed what your work is, because it continues to expand. So glad to be a part of that. So appreciate that. Does anybody have any closing comments for tonight? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I make a motion that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on April 30th at 8 p.m. Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn, and with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you much. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And is there anybody opposed? All right. We'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go, I see Dr. Mosley is still here, so you want to close this in prayer, sir?
And thank you, Mr. Speaker. Father, we come again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. We know your word says, where two of us agree on earth as touching anything will be done to our Father, which is in heaven. And there are more than two of us gathered together tonight. And we thank you that your spirit is in our midst. We thank you for making more clearly to us these spiritual laws, these laws of life, these laws that we live by on the positive or on the negative side in everything that we do and say. But we recognize that the most important, although they're all important, but the most important of all of those that you have contained in Scripture is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Well, it sounds like we lost Dr. Mosley, so I'll come into agreement with his prayer, and we'll go ahead and go our separate ways tonight. Everybody have a blessed night, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Amen. Okay.